Thanks very much, Jordan. Everyone hear me okay?
Yep.
Great. All right. Yes, so firstly, I'd like to welcome some visitors here today, some friends of mine. Thanks for being here. It's great to be here to talk on this final chapter of the Ephesians series. It's been a great series to go through Ephesians, and I think everyone's been really encouraged by it. So now we're going to be turning our attention to this last passage on the whole armour of God. And it's a fascinating passage. It's a rich passage. It's very deep. And when I was preparing for this sermon, I was really quite astounded by how deep it is in terms of the richness of the truths in this text. And so what I've done today is I've tried to, I guess, summarise this passage into a few key topics, a few key points that hopefully you can take away and the Spirit of God will speak to you today, and hopefully you'll come away equipped, encouraged and taught about this spiritual battle that we are in. Now, the armour of God, it implies that we are in a battle. So there is a spiritual realm that exists, and in that spiritual realm, there is a kingdom of light and there is a kingdom of darkness. And this can't be understood through our mere intellect or our own senses. We need revelation from God, understanding from the Spirit of God to be able to understand what we're talking about here today. And the only authority we have on this topic of the spiritual realm or the spiritual battle or war that exists is the Word of God. So we have to trust the Word, that we have to trust what we're reading and believe it, and we have to believe it's true. So it's important we have an understanding of an awareness that there is an enemy that we face. It's important we're prepared for encountering this enemy. And it's also important we understand what God has provided us, the provision He's made for us to live a victorious life in Christ. So today I want to focus on three attributes, if you like, or things that we can take with us into the battle. To be, firstly, be aware there is an enemy and his schemes. The second thing I'm going to be talking about is to be prepared for the battle or the fight. And the last thing I'm going to be talking about is to be strong in the Lord and to resist the enemy. So those three things, can you say them with me now? Be aware, be prepared, and be strong. That's good. So if you get nothing else out of this talk today, you'll remember those three things. So firstly, we're going to be looking at be aware. Be aware of the enemy and his schemes. For me personally, I grew up as a Christian in a Christian family and a Christian church. I read the scripture, had a knowledge of the scriptures. I knew and believed that the devil existed. But for me, I didn't have any concept or understanding of who this devil was. Did he have any power over us as Christians? Where did he come from? All these questions I didn't have answers to. I could go into reasons for that, but I'll try and keep it brief and just say that there wasn't a lot of teaching on the topic of the spiritual battle or the enemy or Satan in this church, and I really didn't have much understanding on it. But when I, in my early 20s, when I really encountered God and met Jesus and had my life changed by the power of God, I began to seek out truth. I began to question some of the things that I'd been taught or hadn't been taught, and began to look into this for myself and seek God for answers. And God is faithful whenever we seek Him. He is like, as we sung there, He's like a precious jewel. If we seek Him, we will get the reward if we seek Him. He's a reward of those that diligently seek Him. So He gave me a personal revelation, a personal understanding, if you like, on this topic, and He's continued to reveal more and more to me as I've sought Him. And that's really important, is that we all get our own understanding from God on these matters. We can listen to teachers, and you know, there's some really good teachers out there on these topics, but at the end of the day, as Jordan said in his prayer, let's be people that seek after God and seek to be taught by God and check everything against the Word of God. So let's just go into this thought of being aware. What are we aware of? We're aware that there is a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness. In Matthew 12:26, it says, "And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. Then how should then his kingdom stand?" So this scripture clearly illustrates there is a kingdom of the enemy, a kingdom of Satan. The kingdom of God is at war against the kingdom of Satan. They're opposed to one another. Well, who is the devil? Okay, so the devil is a spiritual created being that he was in heaven. And it talks about that in Isaiah 14, verse 12. You can read about Lucifer. He's described as the son of the morning. It says in verse 12, "How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Yet, in verse 15, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." So this passage is saying that, you know, and there's another passage in Ezekiel, which I won't go into, but it indicates that the devil was actually an angel, probably an archangel, a ruling angel in heaven. And he was responsible for the worship in heaven. But he, as you can read there, he wanted to be like God. He wanted to take the place of God. And he wanted to be worshipped. And so he rebelled against God. And that's the key thing about the devil, is he is a rebel. And God recognized that and kicked him out of heaven. He fell from heaven. He was banished. And he took, it says in Revelation, a third of the stars, which indicates that it's likely that he took with him a whole lot of angels with him, which he had deceived, and basically told them that they could have more, I don't know, power, prestige, or authority. We don't really know. But in any case, there was a large number of followers that he went with him. Now, some people might believe that Satan is in hell, but it's not actually the case. And if you read Job, it says that he walks to and fro across the earth. His destiny is hell. He's going to end up there. But he has a short time in this time where he can have a limited amount of power, which only God allows him to have. But he is on a tight leash and he can't do anything that God won't allow him to do. So this devil, he's been banished from heaven, and now he's operating in a spiritual realm which we can't see with our own eyes. It's an unseen realm. John 10 verse 10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill and destroy." His motivation is twofold. Firstly, to dominate and control. Second is to control. He wants to be worshipped. And he does, and he, that is his motivation, if you like. Anyone who's not in the kingdom of God, not in the kingdom of light, is in effect in the kingdom of darkness by default. There's no middle ground. You're in the kingdom of light or you're in the kingdom of darkness. And when someone worships a false god that isn't the true living God, they are in effect worshipping Satan, because there is no grey. There's light and there's dark. Whether they know it or not, they are worshipping Satan. What is important is that we recognise that we are soldiers in Christ. We are in a battle, and that we are prepared for the fight that will come. And I'm going to talk about what that fight is shortly. Which leads me on to my second point, which is be prepared for the fight. In 1 Peter 5 verse 8, you will read here, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." In verse 9, "Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." It says be sober and to be vigilant. To be vigilant is to be aware. It's to be alert. To be sober is to be self-controlled and prepared. It's not be distracted. So those two words, sober and vigilance, are two words that align with the topics we're talking about. It describes the devil like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, I recently went to South Africa and went to a lion park, and I saw lions really close, like meters away from me. And they are impressive animals. Like, you would not want to be near a hungry lion. Like, if it was, you know, without some sort of protection, because, you know, it's a strong animal. It could take you down pretty quickly. But the thing is that a lion, when they hunt, they're also looking specifically for the animals that are weak, those that are struggling, and maybe the sick animals. So they actually prey on the vulnerable. So what am I saying by this? I'm saying that, and this also leans into my next point, but it's that we need to be prepared for if a lion comes across our path. The thing is about this spiritual battle we're in, is that we're not called by God to go look for the devil and go seeking out lions to slay. That's not God's desire for us. He actually just wants us to keep our eyes on Jesus, follow him, and if the devil happens to come across our path, if a lion happens to get in our way, then we just deal with him and resist him, knowing that we've been given the armor of God and that we have the strength in God to be able to defeat him. That's really important, that we don't get too focused on the devil and go looking for him in every place. That's not what God God's will for us is. But at the same time, it's important that as Christians, we can kind of sort of fall into three camps in terms of where we stand on this battle. We can either be in fear, in other words, afraid of lions, afraid of the devil. We can be ignorant, just completely unaware that there is even a devil or there is even a battle that we're in. Or we can be aware, prepared, aware, prepared and strong, which is what I'm encouraging us all to be. So if we are aware there is a battle, it's natural that we should be prepared. And how do we be prepared? Well, we have to realize what God has provided for us and what his provision is. He's given us the armor of God. He's given us all those things that we've just read out before. He's given us the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness. Thanks, Jordan. Cheers. He's given us this armor. Can you go to the next slide? Yeah, so there's all the armor there on display. And this is like a Roman soldier. So when Paul was writing this, I believe he would have been thinking of this type of soldier when he was describing the armor. And you can see that shield is pretty sizable. Like, that's going to be a really handy defensive protection in a battle. And I'll talk a bit more about that later. But you can see that it just gives you a picture of this armor that God's given us when we're going to battle against the enemy. It's pretty comprehensive. And I guess when we're talking about preparation, like in the sporting arena, you don't go into a contest unprepared, because you're automatically on the back foot, aren't you? You kind of go, you know, you don't rock up to the Australian Open and expect to win, not having played any tennis in the lead up. Or you don't go into a running race expecting to win if you haven't done any running in the lead up. It's the same with us. Our preparation is our time with God. It's our relationship with God. It's our submitting to God. In James, it talks about submitting to God and then resisting the devil and he will flee from you. But it's not the other way around. We don't resist the devil and then submit to God. Now, the first step is submitting to God in all areas of our life. And what that means is, it means total surrendering of our life. It means total commitment to Jesus. And it means total agreeance with the Word of God. Because when we're in that place of total submission to God, the enemy actually has no way into that arm, into attack us. He's got no avenue. He's got no weakness to exploit. I was talking about the lion before, preying on the weak. Well, if you're submitted to God, there's no weaknesses. Do you understand? So that's my encouragement as well, is that it's our submission to God is our way of overcoming. It's our strength, if you like. And it comes through spending time with God, spending time in his word, and being prepared. The second thing I want to talk about in terms of preparation is to put on the whole armor, as I've already mentioned briefly. The armor is to stand against all the schemes, the strategies, and deceits of the devil. or in the New King James, it talks about the wiles of the devil. So we need to realize that when we become born again Christians, that it doesn't automatically mean that the armor comes on us. Like, because otherwise Paul wouldn't have said put on the armor. It actually requires faith. We actually have to put on the armor of God by faith. It's a spiritual armor. So we need to understand what God has provided for us in the spiritual realm and put on these things by faith. Now, I don't have time today to go into all the schemes and deceits of the devil, because there's so many you could spend a lifetime looking at them. But I'll cover off on a couple as we go, if we have time. But I just want to point out that the armor of God, Paul makes a point to put on the whole armor. And why does he say that? Well, because I guess the armor is very effective, right? If it's used as it's intended. These guys, the Roman soldiers, were a very effective fighting force. They took their they used formations called a phalanx, which the Greeks also used, and it was very effective. So a lot of fighting forces in the first century, they would just have no structure, no order. They'd just run at each other, wielding their swords wildly. But these guys, they were really structured and ordered. Like, they had huge shields. They would stand in a line very close together and they would bring their shield up against each other. So it was effectively like a wall that was impenetrable. And it's the same when we're in battle. Like, we have this shield that we can actually use actively to ward off, it says, the fiery darts of the wicked. And it's very effective if it's used as it's intended. And the whole idea is that we stand against the enemy. Like, if you're facing an enemy, you've got a couple of options. You can either stand, face him, you can go out, attack, or you can run away. That's the options. But Paul says, I think, four times to stand, having done all to stand. So it's like he's encouraging us, no, do everything you can to stand. You've got the complete armor. Just stand there, be strong, be brave, be courageous. As Moses, I think, said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be of good courage. You know, realize that God's given you everything you need to stand. And realize as well that your brothers and sisters in Christ, they need your example to look to. You know, if you're strong, if you're standing there against this onslaught of, you know, tribulation or persecution or hardship, and you're standing strong in your faith, that encourages other people. That encourages your brother. Because on the contrary, if you're overwhelmed, and sometimes we do get overwhelmed, I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but if you're running away scared, then that can actually have the same effect on other people. And I suppose today in our society, we don't suffer persecution maybe as much as some of our brothers and sisters around the world. But, you know, one day that may be a reality where we actually are facing direct opposition to us and our lives might be threatened. In that case, it's even probably more important that we stand strong in our faith, because together we are so powerful if we're working together, having that formation that's just strong, just so effective. I want to turn to the final point I want to make is to be strong. In verse 10, we read to be finally, my brethren. This is the last point that Paul wants to make to the Ephesians church. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, what does it mean to be strong? When we think about that, often we think, oh, you have to work really hard. Well, actually, yes, that's true to an extent, but spiritual strength doesn't come from necessarily our efforts. Spiritual strength comes by the grace of God and by the Spirit of God. You know, when Paul was being buffeted by a messenger of Satan, he cried out to God 3 times. And Jesus actually said to him, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul, he actually had this revelation after that encounter. He actually realized that in his natural weakness, that the power of God would rest on him when he just was able to humble himself and allow God's grace to come upon him. And that actually enabled him. That allowed the strength of God to fill him. And God's strength could be manifest in him. And God could be glorified in that. So what does God's strength do? It enables us. It empowers us to do what we couldn't do without him. And I guess my encouragement from that is, it's okay to have weaknesses. It's okay to talk about our weaknesses. Because in doing so, it brings humility and it brings humble heart. And it allows God to work in your life. If we are puffed up and proud and think that, you know, I can do this, I've got this, you know, I don't need to pray. I don't need God. Then how can God work with that? He actually wants a humble, contrite heart to be able to his power to rest on. And that example of Paul illustrates that. Jesus is really just asking, you know, will you trust me? Will you trust me with your life? Will you trust me to help you in difficult situations? And we can trust him. He's good. The other aspect I want to talk about of being strong in the Lord is that we resist the enemy. Now, resisting is an active thing. There's some parts of the armor which we just put on and they just do their job, like the helmet, like the being girt about with truth and our feet shod with the preparation of gospel. These things, they do require faith, but they don't necessarily require us to exercise our body, if you like. But the shield and the sword, they're both things that require us to be actively using them. And they require strength. So, take the shield of faith, for example. Paul says, it's the most above all to use the shield of faith. And I guess, what does that mean? Well, having faith to be able to overcome the enemy's schemes, it really comes down to, what is our faith in? Well, our faith is in Jesus Christ, because Jesus has defeated the devil. He has conquered death. When he went to the cross, he shed his blood and he died for us and defeated the devil. Total, complete, irreversible defeat. And if we trust in that finished work of Jesus, we will not fear. We will be strong in our faith. We will be able to overcome. It says in Revelation that they overcame the evil one, or him, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. We overcome by the blood of Jesus. It's only by this blood that we can defeat the devil. And so if we put our faith in him, we will live a victorious life. If we trust him, if we have a shield that is secure in that knowledge, secure in that understanding of what Jesus has done, of the provision of the cross, we can overcome every scheme of the wicked one. And the sword of the Spirit also, the Word of God. The Word of God is our weapon, if you like, to resist the devil. He'll come at us with a lie or a half-truth, and we need to test everything we hear in our mind by the Word of God. We need to renew our minds by studying the Word and allowing the Spirit of God to transform our minds. By renewing our minds, the Spirit will actually bring the Word of God to our remembrance. If the devil does give us a thought, or we have a thought that we think the Holy Spirit says, no, that's not right, then firstly, let's repent of that. Let's be humble and acknowledge that that thought wasn't right, because there's a battle going on in our minds. And then let's allow the Spirit of God to speak to us the truth, because he will always lead us into all truth, it says in the Gospel of John. He loves to bring us to remembrance all the words of Jesus. He will lead us and guide us into truth, so that we can actually reject that lie and actually replace it with truth. And the quicker we do that, the better we get at recognizing what is a lie and what is true, the easier it is to be teachable. Because, you know, the danger is always, and this is one of the schemes of the devil that we have to be most aware of, and that is pride. Pride is what brought the downfall of Satan. He got puffed up. He got thought that he could be equal with God. And pride manifests itself in lots of different ways, but one of the ways is that I don't need God, or I can live my own way. But as I guess said earlier, if we have an attitude of submitting to God, to say, look, I know nothing, God. I can't live my life righteously without you. I need your instruction. I need to be taught by you, God. I can't do this by myself. A total reliance and dependence on Jesus is what will help us to overcome. And the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. If we use the Word, bring the Word into whatever situation in, proclaim the Word, read it out loud, do it whatever works for you, but realize that God has provided all that we need to live a victorious life. We are the head, not the tail. We are more than conquerors through Christ. And he's given us the victory. We don't need to be afraid. And as I said before, if the devil happens to come across our path, then we just simply stand. We stand in the knowledge that he's overcome. He's overcome the world. He's given us the armor. We have the sword of the Spirit. We have the Word of God. We have the power. We have the authority in Jesus. And then it talks about later in the chapter about praying always with all prayer and supplication. That's another of our weapons, is prayer. Constant, continual prayer, which is just relationship with God. It's just talking with God. It's bringing everything before God. It's speaking life and truth into all situations. That's really what prayer is. It's a relationship. And you know, I don't have time to go into a lot of that today, but I hope that little summary is useful. So let's go over them again. Be aware. Be aware. Be prepared for the fight. And be strong in the Lord and resist the enemy. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that you gave your Son Jesus for us, that we might have a new life, Lord, eternal life, and have the hope of salvation. Lord, thank you so much, God, that you've given us all we need in this life to overcome, to live a victorious life, to be strong. You've given us the armor, God, that we can resist the devil. We can defeat him through just standing in faith, trusting our Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you've overcome, that you've won for us the victory. Thank you that you help us each and every day to walk in faith, to walk strong, to be prepared, and just to look to you in all situations. For you're our leader, you're our captain, and you've gone before us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just bless us and keep us close to you in Jesus' name. Amen.